internet listeners. I know Buddy Callahan is watching us in Yap, so hello, Buddy. And I think it's midnight over there. Well, hey, the newest grandma was back here. Hey, welcome back. Visitor cards. If you are a first-time visitor with the Victory Bible Class, we would like to welcome you here. We'd like to thank you for being with us. And if you would look in the seat in front of you, there is a visitor card. We would like to get some information to send something out and give you a thanks for being here. Now, I know this is a little bit awkward for visitors right now, but do we have anybody here? It's the first time in the Victory Bible Class. Any visitors with us? Yes, we have two over here. Yes, I'm pointing them out. First time in the Victory Bible Class. So if you guys fill out a card at some point, and we'd just like to thank you for being here. That's how we do it here, okay? Missions slide here. So we've got Buddy Callahan, one of our class members in Yap. Now, you saw the videos and the pictures from Yap that were streaming earlier. So Yap is an island in the South Pacific. It's close to the Pacific Ocean, and that's about it, okay? But Buddy has asked us to pray for no rain so that he can complete his construction project. It's got a lot of to do with concrete and things, and we all kind of understand how weather can affect that. So let me ask you, can the Lord direct and control the weather? Can the devil?
No.
What do you think? We have a split opinion here. Is there anywhere in the Bible where the devil controlled the weather? Job chapter 1. Yeah. So what do we do? What do we do with that? How about we pray? 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So maybe we should pray. How about that? So we're going to pray for Buddy here in just a moment and the weather situation in Yap. All right. That's our mission slide. Let's see. Birthdays. A bunch of birthdays this week. So happy birthday to David Sells, Dale Hale, Rick Norris, Archie Johnson, and Joe Horn. Anybody else have a birthday that we missed this week? Birthdays this week? All right. Happy birthday to all of you. Bunch of anniversaries. Amy Herdman, Todd and Tammy Williams, Tony Glass, Tom and Doris Smith. So happy anniversary to all of you. Anyone else with an anniversary this week? This week? No? All right. If everything is spelled correctly and the dates are right, that's great. If they're not, let me know later so we can get it changed. All right. Guest speaker today, who do we got? Travis Stills is going to be speaking with us today. I've already called him out for being a first-time visitor to the Victory Bible Class as well, Stacy. So thank you all for being here. And I always mess this up, so I might as well just go ahead and do it now so that you all won't laugh at me later. I don't know why I can't get this right, but I'll be thinking about Travis and Stacy, and I'll say Stavis and Tracy. I don't know why I do this. And yes, you can laugh. It's all good. But we thank you all for being in the Victory Class, and you'll meet Travis in just a bit. So let's go over the prayer list. And in order to make the prayer list meaningful, I'm going to do this. All right. We have Wanda McMullen with open heart surgery tomorrow. So just in curiosity, do we have anyone here who has had open heart surgery? Yes, we have one. Might have been a couple. Okay. So you understand what Wanda's getting ready to go through here. All right. So that's tomorrow. Mildred Hill is in rehab. This is from Nancy Hall. Leroy's neighbor Gene Cole. Angie Arnold is traveling, so we're praying for that as she travels. Traveling Mercies, yes. Oh, for the Love Groves. I'm sorry, Love Groves and David Arnold. Okay, if I read it all here, we'd get it. Returning today from the Samaritan's Purse mission trip. Okay, so they're coming back today. And remember, I'm reading all this for the first time, so bear with me here. So praise, Lori Jenkins is home and doing much better. So she was on our prayer list for probably 2 or 3 weeks, doing very, very poorly in Johnson City, and she's home, and so that's great. She is going to have some dialysis, and Her dad is improving. He was in the hospital for pneumonia as well, so father and daughter both at the same time. Justin King is... Yes, Justin King is a friend of the Woods, and he is back on drugs. Just out of curiosity, has anyone here had some family member who has been on drugs? And I'm raising my hand because that's happened in my family too. And I see a bunch of hands here. So when I mention this, you who have raised your hand, you have a special affinity to this because you know what it's like. So let's pray for Justin. We have, and Kim, you've got a surgery coming up at some point too, right?
Yes.
But it's just postponed, so we'll keep it on there. Okay.
I had knee surgery. Almost died on the table because I stopped breathing, and now I got a heart murmur. They got to make sure all that's okay.
Okay, so we'll keep you there. They'll get you eventually.
Now I'm sure. I got severe nerve pain in my feet, and I got nerve damage.
Okay, Allison Edwards' family on death of her father yesterday, and. This is beautiful. I'm just going to read this out as it's written. He was a believer, and it's his home going. Y'all get that? That's sad, but that's a beautiful statement at the end, isn't it? So we have a one bereavement there. We're going to remember. All right, let's go ahead and pray. A lot of things I know I threw out on the list. That's this Thursday, I believe. Is that right? Diane said that the teens, not teams, well, it is a team, I guess. The teen team is leaving for England on this Thursday. All right, let's go to prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks for the beautiful day that you gave us. Thank you for the Victory Bible class. We thank you that we can meet here each week. We can gather around your word. We can share things that need prayer. And I've read off a lot of names, a lot of different situations. We have illnesses that have been read off. We have a bereavement. We have some traveling issues. We've got some weather issues that need your help over in Yap. And so I'm lifting all these up to you, and I'm trusting that you will do your will in each one. And I'll pray for the ones that are on this list, that they need patience. They're going to need endurance. They're going to need comfort. They're going to need hope. They're going to sometimes need encouragement. They're going to need love. And Lord, you can provide all these things. You can, those ones that are far from you, you can draw them back. And you can, if we didn't believe that this was possible, we wouldn't waste our time praying. But we know there is power in prayer. And we thank you for the verse that says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And because of that, we can come to you and we can pray and we can lift these things up to you, Lord. So many, many heavy hearts, some surgeries coming up, some procedures. And Lord, just be with them. Be with the families and bless them through this difficult times. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, John chapter 18 right quick this morning. We'll look at a couple of things in John 18. And so we started off on Jesus walking on the water, and he gets out to the disciples. And I know this was quite a few weeks ago, and he says, be of good cheer. And then he says, it is I. I go. And we traced that through back to Exodus 3:14, where God reveals his name, I am, for the very first time, and how that goes through the Septuagint. And then Jesus says the exact same thing. So the Jesus of the New Testament is the I am of the Old Testament. And he's revealing himself to his disciples in the most unusual way, because he's walking on the water and there's a storm and they're afraid. And he reveals this incredible spiritual truth to them. And then in John 18, we're kind of tracing that idea of I am. We're tracing it down a little bit more. And we saw the past few weeks, Jesus crossed over a brook, the brook Kidron. He went into a garden Gethsemane. And the profound significance those two things have in the life and ultimately death of Jesus. And then we come to John 18 in verse 2, and it says, and Judas also, which betrayed him. So Jesus is in the garden now, Says he knew the place. The place was the garden. Says, for Jesus oft-times resorted thither with his disciples. We've got a note there that says Judas was no surprise to Jesus. Judas was hand-chosen by Jesus. Jesus knew what Judas was going to do. This did not come as a surprise to him during this betrayal. And you can look at Psalm 41:9. Psalm 55 has information of Judas was predicted. So this did not come as a surprise. It was predicted many, many years before. Judas, also, you may or may not know this, Judas was a musician. Did anybody know that? No? Okay, that's... Well, Judas was a musician. We'll see that in just a moment. But that's verse 2. So Judas did not come as a surprise to Jesus. He knew all about this. This was part of his ultimate fulfilling of the gospel. And so if we look at verse 3, it says, Judas then having received a, what did he receive? I told you he was a musician. See, right there it is. Oh, please. Man, rough crowd today. Right, Judas, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. So a band, spiera, is about 500 to 1,000 men. It's not very specific, but this would include a Roman contingent and the temple guard. So the temple had their own security force. So it appears that these two forces combined to come out to Jesus. Now, get the idea of how many men we're talking about here. This isn't just a handful of guys. This is a pretty big group. And I find it interesting, they come out with lanterns and torches, it says. They're bringing light into a dark place, trying to find the light of the world. How about that? You know, and it didn't work. There's one light, and that's Jesus. We can't bring any other light. And it just doesn't work. He is the light. So we move on to verse 4. It says, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things. See, Judas was not a surprise to him. Knoweth all things. Knoweth all things that should come upon him. Went forth and said unto them. Now this is hilarious to me. Jesus said, hey, who y'all looking for? Right? You think he didn't know? No, of course he knew. It says he knew all things. He knew this from the foundation of the world. Said, who are you looking for? Now, anytime you see in the Bible God or Jesus asking a question, always know Jesus is never, God is never asking a question in order to obtain information. The question is to make us think or to force somebody into an answer. So don't think that Jesus is ever looking for information. He knows all things. He is all-encompassing. There's nothing that he needs to know or to learn. We go to verse 5. It says, they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, there it is. He said, I am. There it is again. Except this is going to be really interesting here in just a moment. Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. Jesus once again identifying himself, the Jesus of the New Testament is the I Am of the Old Testament. And then we go to verse 6, and here's where this gets really interesting. Verse 6 says, as soon then as he said unto them, I am. When he said that, look what happened. It says they went, what did they do? They went backward. Not only that, it says they fell to the ground. Now, how many men are we talking about here? 500 to 1,000. Every one of them, when he said, I am, they went backward and they fell to the ground. Now stop and think about that for a moment. They had come to arrest Jesus. They were stirred up against him, and all he said was, Amiago, I am. Were they making the same connection that we just made to Exodus 3:14? I'm not sure. Is this some kind of little tiny minuscule manifestation of who he really is that just somehow seeped out and hit these guys and knocked them over? I don't know. I'm not really sure. But I do know in Exodus 3 where God revealed himself as the I Am. It says, verse 5, and he said, draw not nigh hither. Moses is at the burning bush. Remember that story? And he said, Moses, put off your shoes, you're on holy ground. Remember all that? And then verse 6, he said, moreover, I am the God of thy father. And he goes through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And look what happened. What did Moses do? What was Moses' reaction? It says, Moses hid his face and he was afraid to look upon God. And that happened 1,500 years before Jesus in the garden. And we see Jesus say, I am in the garden, and 1,000 guys fall down on the ground. What do we make of that? I'm not sure, but I do know this. The Jesus of the New Testament is the I Am of the Old Testament. I do know that. All right, we're going to stop right there. We'll pick this back up next week. Mr. Travis, you come and talk to us, or talk at us, or talk about us.
All right. Turn with me, if you got your Bible this morning, to Luke chapter number 21. And we'll start there, but we're going to be flipping around quite a bit. Our main passage is from Matthew chapter 24, which is the parallel passage to Luke 21. And it's a little bit about prophecy this morning. If you're not familiar with me and my family, we went to church here for, I grew up in this church, and then went to the Marine Corps, got out, went to college. Wound up meeting my wife in Atlanta, lived in Jacksonville, Florida for a little while. Eventually got back up this way and lived here from around 2009 to 2018. The Lord called us to the mission field to go help plant a church on Oahu, Hawaii, and try to reach military. And we helped start a church there called Rock Point Baptist Church. Lived there for about 5 years. And recently moved back to Pensacola, Florida. We go to a church down there called Smyrna Baptist Church. It's near Pensacola Christian College. And we're still in the military ministry, trying to reach active duty military. If you're familiar with Pensacola, there's a Naval Air Station there called Naval Air Station Pensacola. There's Whiting Field. There's Corey Station. There's several others. That's where a lot of pilots begin their training. It's also where the Blue Angels practice. I get a free air show about every other day or so. So that's a short background on me and my family. We are at our church right now. We are going through prophecy. And I noticed this verse as we were studying the Word the other night, and I'm going to kind of get back to it. We'll start in Luke, and just been meditating upon it, and felt like maybe the Lord would just have me to speak a few words about it this morning. The Bible says in Matthew 24:12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But we'll get back to that. But we'll start in Luke, and we'll read a few verses from here. And then we'll get back to that. But that's going to be our main verse. And if I run out of time, the main topic of my message is I wanted to speak to us, the believers, about how to keep our love, you know, how to stay right with God, how to continue during the day and time we live in to not let our love get cold for God, and to keep serving Him, because there's no doubt we live in a time of confusion. We live in a time of lawlessness. We live in a time where there seems to be several different kinds of justice systems, depending on your political background, your religious background. And so, you know, how do we stay right with God during these troubled times? So let's ask the Lord to bless, and we'll get started. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for just the opportunity we have this morning to gather and hear your word. Lord, I know that I am unworthy to even get up here, Lord, and speak or teach your word. I don't believe any man really is, except the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we just ask you to touch and bless in a special way, to tabernacle amongst us, to meet with us, Lord, to speak to our hearts and to help us in these days and times that we live right now, Lord, these difficult times. The Bible even calls them perilous times, to honor and glorify you. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So I'll say right off the bat, you don't have to turn to it, but you can look this verse up later, because I didn't know how much time I was going to have. But there's really three groups in the world right now. Does anybody happen to know off the top of their head the three different groups in the world right now? Okay. We have the Jews, we have the Gentiles, and we have the church. So obviously the church is, and that's found in 1 Corinthians 10:32. Of course, the church is made up of both Jews and Gentiles. But those are the three groups that God recognizes in the world right now. We live during the time of the church age. Some people would call it the time of the Gentiles. But it's a time of when God is calling out a bride, and primarily he's dealing with the Gentile nations. And so the next prophetic event on God's calendar is what? The rapture, right? Is that found in the New Testament or the Old Testament, or both?
Both.
That's exactly right. You can write down this. I'm not going to get to go through all this. Like I said, I didn't know how much time I was going to have. If you look in Leviticus chapter number 23, you will see a series of feasts that God had Israel to celebrate each year. Does anybody know what the first feast was? Passover. That's right. That's a typology of Christ being crucified. His blood was shed. Right after that feast was the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is the typology of a holy or a sanctified life that a believer has. The feast after that, and by the way, you can also find that Jesus was crucified, John 19:14, during the Passover. The feast after that, after the Unleavened Bread, was the Feast of First Fruits. Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:20 that Jesus Christ was the first fruits of the resurrection. The feast after that in Leviticus 15 through 22 was the Feast of Pentecost. That's 50 days. You'll find in Acts 2 verses 1 through 4 that the Holy Spirit was given during Pentecost. Does anybody know what the fifth feast is? It's the Feast of Trumpets. It's the Feast of Trumpets. It's very significant. You'll find in 1 Thessalonians verses 4, 13 through 18, the Bible talks about the trumpets going to sound. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. And so, and also 1 Corinthians 15:52 is the trumpets going to sound. If you look up that word, if you do a word search, I got a Bible on my phone, and I love it because I also have Strong's Concordance on here, so I can look up words. I can just pull stuff up. I can do word searches. But if you look up that word trumpet, you'll also see that God's voice, one of his voices, is a trumpet. So I'm kind of giving you a lot of background information just to know where you all, just to understand where we are. These passages are, if you pay attention to the words, you can see that this is really focused more on the tribulation period. And we can just pick up Luke verse 21 and we'll read verses Well, let's just pick up verse 12. We've got a little bit of time. It says, "But before all these things, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake." So we don't go to synagogue, we go to church. "And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which with all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends. And some of you they shall cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake." I think that's a reference to what we're seeing now as anti-Semitism, right? We're seeing it all over our nation and all over the world even. You're starting to see that. "But there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh." This is definitely during tribulation period, because he's talking about Jerusalem. "Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all these which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them which give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people." Skip down to verse number 28. And it says, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." You notice he says, "when they begin to come to pass." So if you read that whole passage, you talk about wars, rumors of wars, all nations hating you for my name's sake, all these, you know, I believe we're seeing the world start to turn on the nation of Israel as a whole. Well, Jesus said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And I'll also highlight one more verse. If you skip down to verse number 33, this is the key, really, to staying right with God during these times. It says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." So Jesus is making a promise right here that heaven and earth are going to pass away. It's going to happen during the tribulation period. God is going to destroy this world with fire. But His word are not going to pass away. It can be our foundation. And this is what we need to keep in mind, is that during times of confusion, during times of distress, during any difficulty in life, we can always count on the promises in the Word of God. So now if you want to flip back to Matthew, and we'll look at verses, Matthew 24, we'll look at verses 3 through 12. "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Pay attention to what they're asking, a very specific question. When are you coming? Now, we know that first the rapture has to happen, and then Christ will be revealed. That's his coming. That's his second coming. That's when he will be revealed to the world that he really is Christ, which we know he is. They're going to see him for who he really is at that time, but it's going to be too late for many of them. "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." So that's I think anti-Semitism. The world is going to hate the nation of Israel as a whole. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So we'll park right there for a minute, and we'll look at this verse. We're going to dissect this verse just a little bit. And I looked at what that word iniquity means. It's used 15 different times in the Bible itself. The other place is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 in verse 7, and we'll look at that verse in a minute. But what it means is violation of law, an illegal act, really a breakdown of law and order as we see it in the world today. We're seeing a breakdown of law and order. We know that God establishes government and judges and a judicial system and all these things. If you were to look in Romans 13, you would see that God talks about honoring those in authority, that they have a sword, that they have it to make sure that law and order, you know, otherwise, we're so sinful, you'd have anarchy. You'd never have a chance to even hear the gospel. So God has established law and order so that people could live and have a chance to hear the gospel. And we're seeing, you know, people protest, break into Capitol buildings. It's not a peaceful protest that we live in now. A lot of times we see violence. We see breaking in of department stores. I saw recently where they were showing people just 50 or 100 people going into one store at one time and just grabbing everything they could and running out. And so we're seeing a breakdown of law and order around the world, definitely within the United States. And so that word is talking about, you know, people that break the law. The word abound means to increase or multiply. So we're seeing as we draw nigh to the rapture of the church that it's continuing to grow. It's going to keep getting worse and worse, and that's what the Bible teaches. If you were to look in, I can't remember if it's in 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy, but it's going to continue to grow. We're going to continue to see lawlessness, and it's going to continue to multiply. That word love is actually the word agape. That's how God loves us. He loves us unconditionally. It says the love of many shall wax cold. So people and their love for God is going to wax cold. But if you notice the last two words in that verse, wax cold, that is actually one word that means to voluntarily chill. In other words, it's not like a piece of wood that's been on fire and then it starts to involuntarily go cold. It's talking about people who are going to look around them. They're going to see what's going on with all the iniquity, all the lawlessness in the world, and they are going to choose to go down this path of being cold towards Christ, being ineffective for God. And that's something that they choose to do. And if you want to flip really quick, running out of time, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7, I'm going to try to get done by 10:40, Mark, so we'll see.
That's good.
2 Thessalonians verse 2 and verse 7. Most of the Thessalonians, a lot of the Thessalonian, this book's only got three chapters. The other one has, I think, five. So they're very short, but they're a lot of them are about the end times. They're about the rapture. Paul tells them, you know, to be aware of the seasons. In other words, you should know, you should recognize the season that's going on around you when Christ comes back. We're not going to know the exact day, but you should recognize the seasons. And so in chapter number 2, in verse number 7, we find this word iniquity again, the similarity as what you find in Matthew. It says, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. So that word again, iniquity, is the word of lawlessness or being illegal, doing acts to break, I think, civil law and also even God's law. It's working now in the world. What's holding it back? Well, we are as believers. And if you notice, it says, until he be taken out of the way. That means actually, the word taken means be assembled. I think that's what's going to happen is when the rapture occurs, every single one of us that are believers are going to be called out of this world. We're going to meet Christ in the air. We all have a small down payment of the Holy Spirit, don't we? And so a lot of our influence that we have that God has given us to push back and hold evil back is going to be taken out of this world. And then it says that the man is going to be revealed, the wicked. That is the Antichrist. And that word anti means instead of Christ. And he's going to step on the scene and he's going to allow all this lawlessness to go on. And it's going to be, I think, the most tyrannical government that the world has ever seen. So as I was thinking about all this, and I've just, like I said, I had that one verse on my mind, really was just wanting to study it out and I wanted to share it with you. And I thought, you know, how do we guard against getting cold to serving the Lord and living for the Lord? And as I was thinking about that, I thought, well, who in the Bible is the greatest or somebody that fell a lot?
Simon Peter.
That's right. And so I went to 2 Peter to find the answer of what's the way, how do we stay right with God? How do we continue to walk with God in this time? And we'll just look at a couple of these verses in 2 Peter. It's just three chapters. So if you have a chance today to look at it, read it through, I would encourage you to do so. Some of the things I noticed, 2 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 4, it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. What are those promises? That's God's word. We're given these great promises of God, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Skip down to 2 Peter 1 verse 10. It says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. I don't want to fall. I don't want to fall away from God. And that was the verse that God really brought to my mind, is that you should be giving diligence. That's all heed, working towards, seeking after. The word diligence means to endeavor, to labor, to study. It takes work to stay right with God. It takes work to have a right relationship with anybody, and it takes work. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to have a right relationship with Him. It takes effort, takes diligence. Another verse, 2 Peter 1, verse 19, it says, we also have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. So I'll share one more verse, something that Peter wrote, the very last verse that he wrote in this book. If you go on to 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse 18, it's an encouragement for all of us. It says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. You know, the bottom line is Jesus Christ is coming back very, very soon, I think. It could be 100 years, it could be this year, it could be... But nevertheless, He made a promise that He is coming back. He is coming back to take the church out first. And this world is going to go through the tribulation period. But you know, we need to stay focused on what's important during the hard times, during the difficult times. I kind of want to worry about the election. What's going to happen in the election this year? what's going to happen in the United States of America? Well, God tells me to keep my focus on Him, to keep my eyes on Him, to keep my eyes on His Word, to trust His Word, to grow in His grace. And He's enough. He's enough to take us through. So, you want to close this? Okay. All right, let's close in a word of prayer. I'm 3 minutes over, but... Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank You for this time. And Lord, I thank You for Your Word, Lord. It is a sure word of prophecy. Lord, it is our foundation. It is our rock. Lord, this world is going to crumble. This world is going to fail one day. It's going to fall apart. Lord, everything is going to be burned to the ground. But You promised that Your Word is not going to go away. We can always count on it, Lord. We can always believe it. And may help us, Lord, as a church. May help us as believers to meditate and to focus on it, Lord, and not on the crazy things going on in this world, Lord. And to be what You want us to be, and pray You'd bless the services to follow, Lord. And pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.